Well, vaccination has been from the very outset, so for over a year now, the single most effective way of keeping people from having the worst outcomes, hospitalizations and death from COVID-19. And it's actually the one intervention that we can make that continues to be effective during this new phase of the Omicron variant. So Omicron's extremely contagious. The vaccine is not as effective in stopping contagion as we would like. However, if a person is fully vaccinated, and especially if they are boosted, those that are eligible, their risk of ending up in the hospital or dying from COVID-19 drops way, way down. Not to zero, but much, much less than people who are unvaccinated. And if you sample inpatients from hospitals who are admitted for COVID-19, the majority of them are still unvaccinated, despite the fact that it's only a relatively small portion of Virginia's population that's still in that state.
Masking isn't perfect. It's also inconvenient and uncomfortable. And there is discussion of how effective masks are. Your thoughts on the role of masks at this point?
Masking has shown its effectiveness in the past, but people need to understand that unless you're wearing an N95 mask and probably goggles, the mask primarily affects outgoing germs. So it's the same thing that works with a surgical mask in the operating room. It's to prevent the surgeon's sneeze from ending up in the sterile operating wound. So a person with COVID who wears a mask will have some of their droplets captured by the mask fibers, and surgical type masks work much better than cloth masks to do this. So that's the key with masking. It only stops the outbound germs effectively. It's not nearly as effective at protecting the wearer from other people. So with that in mind, Omicron is a very different animal. It is much, much more contagious than any of the previous variants of coronavirus or of COVID-19. And one of the interesting things that's turned up in the data is that as you watch the spread of of Omicron through Virginia, first of all, you see enormous rises in the daily case counts between November, when there was no Omicron in the United States to speak of, and early January, when it had become the predominant strain. The numbers of case counts increased anywhere from 5 to 20-fold. So that's 5 to 20 times. I mean, I'm not even going to figure out what the percents are there. It's actually 20 times as many cases in some places each day. And the interesting thing is the places that had the highest and most rapid increases were the urban and suburban areas. So Arlington, Alexandria, Fairfax County, Loudoun County were the ones that saw the 20-fold increases. And they actually had higher case rates than some of the rural counties over in the Shenandoah Valley and down toward the Southwest and in the rural Piedmont. Rural areas previously had actually had higher COVID rates. So during Delta, the rural areas had higher COVID rates than the urban ones. And that's completely reversed now that Omicron has come. So that rapid increase in the urban areas where masking is much more prevalent than it is in the rural regions really kind of calls into question how effective not only masking but all of our other mitigation techniques are against stopping the spread of Omicron. Now it's only observational data, and my epidemiologist would be very quick to point out the data doesn't prove it, and she's right, but it's the best data we have, and it certainly is worth consideration, particularly in light of the negative aspects of masking that you pointed out earlier.
Just a second ago, that you questioned whether mitigation strategies in general were helpful. What are some other mitigation strategies that the guidance now suggests?
Right. So please understand, before Omicron, mitigation strategies are really quite effective, including masking. They were a major factor in allowing schools to stay open, for example. With Omicron, it's not nearly so clear that masking and, for that matter, distancing are quite as effective. just because of the rapid rise in cases, again, even most rapidly in the areas where these mitigation practices were the most common and best followed. So what should people do? First is get vaccinated if you're not vaccinated. If you are vaccinated and you're eligible for the booster, get the booster. I'm not going to promise you this will stop you from getting Omicron. I can say that it's much more likely you're just going to have a bad cold and you won't end up in the hospital and you won't end up dying from it. So that's one. Got to get vaccinated. And you'll hear Governor Youngkin talking about this quite a bit. The second is if you're sick or if you might be sick, you need to isolate yourself. So a person who has cold symptoms that are significant, isolate at home, get tested. If your test is positive, then you have COVID. And at that point, people who have test positive COVID need to isolate at home for 5 days. If they're getting better at the end of 5 days, and if they don't have a fever, then they can go back out into work and school environments. But this is a case where masking is important. They need to wear the mask at that point. Remember, the mask stops germs coming out of the person wearing it. So The tail end of their isolation period, they're less contagious than they were at the beginning. They can come out of isolation, but they really need to wear the mask.
Okay. Thank you, doctor. And one final question, if you don't mind, on the timing. You know, obviously, at some point, masking needs to end. The Virginia Academy of Pediatrics questions that, given what else is happening with emergency rooms filled and staffing issues, whether now is the appropriate time to stop masking. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, it's a reasonable question that they ask, because indeed, particularly inpatient beds are stressed out to the max. They're full and overfull. And the outgoing and incoming governor joined forces to declare a state of emergency to allow expansion of hospital beds. And Governor Youngkin has added on an additional executive order to allow expansion of staff. However, I understand why, whether they be pediatricians or emergency room doctors or inpatient physicians, they would say, why would you stop masking now when we're having all these cases? So the first point is, it's not obvious that masking is all that effective to stop the Omicron variant. And again, there are negative aspects, and it's a balance. It's not clear that forcing everybody to wear an N95 mask would solve the problem in the hospitals. More people being vaccinated would certainly be helpful, although that's something that would take a couple of weeks to make a difference. But the final point is, if you look at the statistics, it looks like Virginia is approaching its peak right now, particularly the urban areas, which had a much more rapid rise in Omicron, appear like they may be peaking at this point. And we may see the case count start to drop and then the stress on the hospitals later. It's a risk and benefit, but if you're going to make interventions, you want to use interventions that appear likely to be helpful. And again, masking, particularly with the cloth masking and some of the less effective ones, don't seem to be all that effective against Omicron. I will say that we're all going to get through this. A year ago, I would have thought that by June, we were going to be done and we were all doing great. And then Delta came along. I don't want to make too many predictions because we don't know if this is the last variant. It probably isn't. That said, the one thing that it has been effective against hospitalization and death for every variant has been vaccination. Vaccination is available down to age 5. Vaccination with booster is now available for the teenagers. And the serious side effects for vaccination, despite all of the internet chatter to the contrary, have been extremely rare. The side effects that have occurred more commonly have been relatively mild. So the disease is much, much worse than the vaccine. There is no question about that.